Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And then we read again in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. And we begin to read at verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he has said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Sorry for that.
Amen. Our theme is Small Boat, Great Big Sea. And we're going to listen to a bit of music now just to put you in the mood to think about the sea. Hold on to your seats because I've told Mark, give it the full welly that it deserves. So let's just reflect on things oceanic.
Thank you.
something in that music about the majesty, the power, and the awe that the sea have on us. Vaughan Williams' Sea Symphony. Brendan was a monk. He lived around the 6th century. He made a voyage. He set out in a small boat with a few of his brothers. The boat was made in much the same way as a coracle, from bent wood and the hides of animals, the leather produced the keel of the boat. And you could have got probably 4 or 5 of those boats on the platform. But from the records he kept, we're aware that he visited places that have remarkable similarities to Iceland and Greenland and Newfoundland. And it's generally held these days that he got to the Americas about 1,000 years ahead of Christopher Columbus. And a few years ago, a man called Tim Sitherin made the same journey, made a boat and sailed the journey and proved that it was quite possible to go there. And there are records, you know, Brendan tells us how he, whenever he made landfall, he would celebrate the communion. And his brothers with him, once or twice, they made landfall, which turned out to be an iceberg, so they had mass on the iceberg. Why did he do it? Because he trusted in God. He believed in God's goodness. He believed he was held in God's goodness. And he was determined to see what there was of God beyond here. Which meant letting go of all sorts of things. He made that journey knowing that he would, as like, never see his parents again, never see his family again, never see his brothers and sisters again, never see the monastery he led again. But he went. We're told how Abraham when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. I was struck by, we had a wonderful testimony from Sim Sayer this morning when he was baptized, and he spoke in it about he didn't know where he was, you know, didn't know where life would take him. But he was identifying with the Christ and the God who were going to go with him through life. Very powerful for an 18-year-old young man. He's just 18 this weekend. And, you know, it was just so encouraging to hear him say, you know, he just comes as he is with all his questions, all his confusions, all his lack of wisdom at 18. But he's going to see where God takes him. And many of us who are a little bit older than sin, perhaps, to do with listening to his example. I remember my mother once said to me that she said, and it was in one of my revolting, angry young man stages. You know, some of us grow out of our angry young man stages. I think David's still working through his, but we're sort of... he talks like it sometimes, you know, but when I was... And she said, you know, she said, the older I get, the more sure I am in my faith and the less answers I have to any of the questions. And Brendan is a wonderful example of somebody who sets out not knowing where he's going, but knowing wherever he does go, God will be there ahead of him. David Adams has written a book about Brendan. You can't get hold of it now, unfortunately. I've tried recently. I shall have to try and get it second hand. But it's called Brendan, The Desert of the Oceans. And he very much takes the line that, you know, like Abraham, who was going into more of what we tend to think of as wilderness, actually that's what Brendan was doing when he set out to sea. And in a sense, it's true for us too. As we cry out, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land, pilgrim through this unmarked sea. And so there are some nice pictures of Brendan. I hope there weren't that many in the boat, at least if it was that size. And I love this sculpture, which you can find in Ireland, of Brendan, you know, wrapped up against the elements. And there are others as well, which are a bit more of a caricature, perhaps. But actually, that's in the middle of a woodland glade. About 20 feet up in the air is an odd sort of place. But all I'm really wanting to say this evening, and it's something which I've just felt, I've learned and had impressed upon me again during this period of sabbatical, is when we set out, the truth is we don't know where we're going. We heard that story of Jesus teaching, of Jesus saying, I have good news to proclaim. I'm proclaiming the good news of God. The kingdom of God has come near. Turn around from wherever you are and join it. Be part of it. That was the gospel for Jesus. I mean, the gospel, as Luther and Calvin and the reformers were to understand it, didn't exist at the time of Jesus. He'd not died. He'd not been raised from the dead. And yet he talks about the good news. He talks about the gospel. And he says, the good news is that the kingdom of God is here, and it's here because I'm here. And in a sense, what the crucifixion and resurrection do are to underline that seven times in red. The kingdom of God is near. I love the way Sandy Miller used to talk about it when he said that the kingdom of God is not near like tomorrow is near. Because after all, we all know tomorrow never comes. But the word used here is a positional, geographical one. It's The kingdom of God is here like this table is here, as sure as you can reach out and touch this table. And if you want to afterwards, do come. There's no illusion. There is a table here. And Jesus says, as real as that table is here, the kingdom of God is here. And you can know that because I'm here. So live in it. Wherever you're coming from, just live in it. You don't have to do anything for it, you have to receive it. Believe it. Believe the good news. And immediately we see Simon, who would become Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James and John, in a Brendan-type fashion, in an Abraham fashion, said, okay, we're following. I haven't got a clue where this is going to lead us, but we're following. And in a sense, every time we come and we take bread and we take the cup and we remember Jesus, he's saying, are you following? And we're saying, yes, Lord. Have mercy on me for all the ways I get it wrong, all the mistakes I made, all the sins I commit, all my lapses, but yeah, I'm with you. Great, we've got a kingdom to declare. We've got good news to share. So let's live as if we're people who have.